The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here today, back from vacation. And on vacation, I took with me something that I love to have. Namely, my good old backpack that you've seen before. Throw it on my back, and every time I put this on my back, I think of all the places it's been with me. This backpack has been with me through well over 20 countries. I don't know exactly how many, but I especially remember taking this with me through Europe. So every time I put it with me on my back, I think of that great adventure I had when I was 19 years old and went through almost every country in Europe. Actually, every one in the Western one except for Portugal. And such is the gear of a traveler. But there's something else about a backpack like this. It identifies me. It identifies me as a resident of another country. And in a similar way, I want to talk with you today about your new identity, which you have in Jesus Christ. Because at one time, you were residents of the world, aliens and strangers to God. But now in Christ Jesus, your new names are this: alien and stranger to the world, pilgrim through this life, citizen of heaven. Those are your names. Is this how you think about yourself? As someone who's on his way to a better destination? Are all your hopes and dreams and energies toward striving toward this place that the traveler has at the end of his journey? I think personally this is one of the most important things to know as a Christian, and to have a perspective that puts all of your life into the right perspective, to recognize that you are a traveler en route to somewhere else. It's the best of all things to grasp. So I'd like to talk about this with you today, how you're a stranger and alien to the world, a pilgrim, and a citizen of heaven. So what does God want to tell us about this? Well, the first thing is that once you were citizens of earth, let's take a look at where this kind of thing is written in the scriptures. John chapter 8, if you will, verse 21. Again, Jesus said to them, I go away, and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. In other words, Jesus was from somewhere else, right? He's going away. He's from another country. He belongs somewhere, or comes from somewhere other than here. And then the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I'm going, he cannot come? Jesus said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. So notice what he says here. I am not from your country. I come because I was sent, and I'm en route to going home to another place, to the place above. But you all belong to the earth. And as it says in John chapter 3, he who is of the earth belongs to the earth, and of the earth he speaks. He who comes from heaven is above all. Do you know that all of us were once residents of the world, where all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our passions, our delights, and our lives were fixed on what would happen to us in this life between your birth and your death? That was it. All we hoped for and wanted was here. But is that a good world to be a part of? Think of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, that everything in this life is transient. It's temporary. It's passing away. I'm coming up on my 40th birthday. I'm looking back and I'm thinking, oh, certain things going wrong with me now. I see things. Just wait. I know. I heard you. It was a big muffling, lots of noise, but I heard what you're saying. But it's temporary. It's passing away. Everything in this life breaks down. And he's a fool who does not face the fact that this world stinks in terms of it's a world where things do not last forever or go the way we want them to. Solomon called this world all as vanity and a striving after wind. Once you think you have it in your hand, it's gone. Maybe you lived even for something noble, like for your children, but you don't know whether you'll be able to, you know, see them have all their hopes and dreams that you hope for them to have. Death could come to any of us at any moment. We could be cut short. Such is life in this world. But I have the good news to tell you today that someone has come from above, Jesus Christ, God's own Son, the Prince of Peace, the Son of the King, God the Father. Jesus has come from above to bring us with him to heaven, to the place above where he lives, to a better country, a better world, his world. This was his purpose. And do you want this world? Jesus said, "You are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." And there's the beautiful key, faith. Unless you believe that I am he. But believing on him as the Son of God, as the Savior, is a powerful thing. For you receive then this gift, that you're born anew, and you become a citizen, not of the world, but of heaven above. And we're going there. We've got to remember then that at one time we were strangers to God, but now we're strangers to the world. Let's take a look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and following. It says, "Therefore remember that at that time you Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that at that time," in other words, before you came to Christ, "you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." If you are from below, this is your country. And if this is your country, then you are an alien to God, a stranger to him. And you have no hope without God in this world. But then I shouldn't have closed my Bible because I'm going on the next verse. Verse 17, "Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And Colossians says, "And you who are alienated once and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he's now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." And so, to be made a citizen of above, it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Believing on him that he died for you, you are born and have another country. Do you know this? So what's the most important thing for you to have? When I was traveling through Europe, I carried this pack with me everywhere. All my belongings were in here. I went off. That's good. I was trying to wake you up there, Colleen. No, actually, that was the... I had everything I needed right here in this pack. But I didn't care if someone robbed this pack while I was sleeping, because I couldn't keep an eye on it at all times. But the one thing I did make sure to keep with me wherever I went through Europe, even if I was sleeping in a train station or outside, this pack they can steal, but this they could not steal. My passport. I took all ends to make sure that I kept this close to my person. And so what I did is I bought one of these. You see these? You put it in here. And then what I'd do when I'd sleep on a train or whatever else, where if someone could easily come and steal everything I have, they could take my pack, I thought. I don't actually need what's in there. What I need is what's in here. And so I'd keep it around my waist, tucked in behind and underneath my shirt, so that they could not take this without me knowing it. And this is what we really need to get into heaven, a passport that says we are citizens of another country. And in baptism, God has made you a citizen. Through faith, God has made you a citizen. And what we believe is that Jesus died for us. Our faith in his gospel that we're justified by another's righteousness, by Christ's righteousness. And we have the seal, not of the United States, but the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us, again, in the waters of baptism, through faith, trusting in the one who died for us. And it's important for us, then, as we're travelers, to make sure we also keep this close to our person, close to our heart. Never lose our faith in the gospel, because, well, there are no illegal aliens in heaven. We have a lot of talk these days about immigration and about what to do about resident aliens. Well, let me tell you something. In Revelation chapter 21, it says of the city of God, nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Remember that parable Jesus told about the marriage feast? And he came up to the one man and he said, but where is your friend? Where is your wedding garments? And he was speechless. And he was thrown into the outer darkness, where men weep and gnash their teeth. Why? Because he had lost or didn't have his passport, his proof of citizenship. But God has given us the citizenship through Jesus, for Jesus is the door. He is the narrow gate, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And just like with the Statue of Liberty, it's written there on a plaque. So Jesus says, give to me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. So, in Christ, you're no longer a stranger to God, but you're a traveler, a pilgrim, and a citizen of heaven. So what's that mean for you? It means that your whole life now is a journey. As Jonathan Edwards once said, that this life ought to be spent by us as to be only a journey or a pilgrimage towards heaven. Is that the way you think of your life? That you are not about living here or being here, but about getting there, as making that your sole goal? So what's it mean for you to be a traveler in this way? Well, point number one, it means now we are strangers to the lands and peoples through which we pass. When I had a backpack on, that symbolized everybody around me in Germany, in Austria, Switzerland, Norway, and the rest, that I did not belong to their country, that I didn't speak their language, that I was a stranger to their customs and to their ways. I remember when I was in Greece, I had to read about this motion means come to me. And because I'd read that, I understood their custom. But frankly, that was a strange custom to me because I wasn't from their country. Well, we also are strangers to the world now. Jesus says, the wind blows where it wills and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. What's that mean? That's always been kind of a mysterious verse to me until I thought about it. It means that the world can feel you are different, like they feel the wind. They feel the Spirit in you, but they don't know where you came from. But they don't know where you're going, just like we don't know where the wind comes from or goes to. But you know. Where you come from now is from heaven, because you're born from there. And you know where you're going, which is to heaven. That's our home. That this life ought to be spent by us, he says again, Jonathan Edwards, as to be only a journey then, or a pilgrimage towards heaven. For all the saints have always seen themselves as strangers and exiles on earth, seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of the land from which they'd gone out, the promised land, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a lasting city. Point two, when you travel, then, If you are really a traveler, which you are, a pilgrim, a citizen of heaven, a stranger to this world, your rule ought to be to travel lightly here. And as it says in Hebrews, to cast off all weights and sins which cling so closely, and to run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus. When I was in Europe, first couple days, I had this same pack. It was packed pretty full, but everything, all my earthly belongings that I knew and needed were in here. But you know what? I went through Paris, southern France, and Spain wearing this pack, and boy, my back was aching. After the first couple of countries, I was like, I got to make a change. I got another 15 countries to go. I can't go around like this. So I remember taking this pack off on the beach in southern France by the Mediterranean, and there as the waves were coming in, I was just a few feet from the shore. There was a park bench. I took out my pack, everything in there, laid it all out, and reorganized. And what I did is I took a dress shirt that I had, I folded it up nicely, I left it on the bench. I figured I don't need that. Then I took out a sweatshirt that I had, and I cut off the sleeves on it. So all I had was sort of a tank top type of sweatshirt. I got rid of absolutely everything I could, readjusted the weight, and then through the rest of Europe, I could walk all day with this on my back. And I was the envy of all the other travelers who were lugging their baggage to the youth hostel. Their backs were breaking, but I was going lightly. And that's the way we really need to travel as Christians. And I want to ask you then, are there things in your life that are hindering you or weighing you down? If your life is really a journey to heaven, is everything that you think of then subordinated to this mission to travel onward? There could be sins that are like a ball and chain. Certainly got to get rid of those through repentance and faith. But even maybe there are some things that are not helping you toward heaven that are just hindrances to you along the way. Look, if the Bible is true, we're really going somewhere. We're going to where Jesus said, I'm going there. You can't come unless you believe I'm He. And as He told Peter, where I'm going, you can't come now, but you shall come afterwards. We're going somewhere. Amen? Then you answer me this. We are on a journey, right? Say, it's a journey. Life is a journey. And then point three then is that if we're travelers, then we ought to enjoy the sights, but we shouldn't seek to stay anywhere or fix our hearts in this world. Been through about 30 countries with this pack. I saw a lot of neat things. This pack stayed with me, let's see. Just to praise God for the gift of it. I went through the Swiss Alps with this. I went across the Ionian Adriatic Sea with this to Greece. I've been north of the Arctic Circle with this in Norway. But you know what? I didn't stay any of those places more than a few days. I looked at all the sites. I enjoyed them as I went. But I didn't latch my heart on to say, I'm staying here. Why? Because I was a traveler. And I knew that I had a home country. And I was not going to rest and take off my pack anywhere until I arrived home in my own room. As Jesus said, my Father's house has many rooms. And so how about for you? The devil's temptation is for us always to say, stay here. Rest a while. In fact, you've had a long journey. It's a wilderness out there. Fix your heart in this world. Find some pleasure here and rest and stay and fix all your dreams here. Well, when I came to Florence, after traveling through a number of the different countries, I was like on the go. I was dirty. I'd been sleeping out. You know, I tried to keep myself as clean as I could. But then I got to Florence where I knew a family. They had me to a little villa where I overlooked the city of Florence. I didn't just have my own bed. I didn't just have my own room. I had my own guest house there, okay? How do you think that felt to me? There's a pool waiting for me outside. Horses wandering around. I could stay there for free as long as I wanted. And each night, the mother would say, stay with us longer. You don't have to go tomorrow. Stay with us another day. And I'd say, okay, another day. But I'm going tomorrow. And then I'd have a beautiful day, and they gave me a moped and all this stuff. And they said, stay with us another day. I said, but I'm going tomorrow. Well, the devil wants you to fix and stop your journey and say, set your heart and your dreams on this life. Forget the world to come. This place is nice. Well, forget it. You know what? As good as this world has, no matter what it has, I am for pressing onward. I'm for pressing onward with you. Not settling here anywhere. And in fact, after about 5 days, I finally said, the wind is blowing, I'm on my way. But it was tough to leave that place. It was easy for God to get Israel out of Egypt. It was hard to get Egypt later out of Israel. They always wanted to go back and settle in the land of bondage. Remember the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh? They wanted to settle east of the Jordan, east of the promised land. Not us. Our land lies beyond the Jordan, beyond the river of death in the promised land of God. And I'll tell you, I can see that city. I can see it by faith. Right now, I could look up there and I can see my God. I was watching last night. I showed Beth a little image of this from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Remember Kevin Costner? Total, like, oxymoron, you know? Kevin Costner, Robin Hood, okay. But there's this great scene where he's coming to the cliffs of Dover, and he's at the front of the boat, and finally he reaches his homeland, falls down on the ground, kisses it, and says, thank you, God. And he rolls over and says, I'm home! I'm home! And he rolls around in the surf. And that's what is the image of a Christian. We don't rest anywhere. We don't stop anywhere for anything until we reach our homeland. And why? What is our homeland like? Consider for a moment today, this morning, where indeed you're headed. You're heading to the abode of angels, to the dwelling place of the saints. You're heading to the home of the Son of God. You are heading to the capital city of the Almighty Himself who sits upon the throne, a place where there's no more death or weariness or tiredness, but glory and strength and joy everlasting. So we ought not to settle here anywhere. And God gives us company along the way. Or as Jonathan Edwards said again, company is very desirable on a journey, but and none such as this. And so we shouldn't forsake meeting together as we're doing today. A pilgrim has need of other pilgrims to help him up the hill, to ford the valley, to cross the stream. We have need of each other. We have need of hearing the word of God. And on a sleepy car ride, what do? When you have, your eyes are barely able to stay awake, and you're on a long trip, and your husband or wife is sitting next to you, and you're steering, what do? What do? Talk with me. Keep me awake, right? And you engage in a conversation. And we ought to engage in conversations and set our minds and think about heaven. Because if you are not thinking about heaven, then you will not soon be longing for it. And if you're not longing for it, you're going to slow down and get weighed down in your journey. We ought to be always thinking about these things and talking about it with each other and saying, this is what it'll be like. And remember our homeland, our journey's end, and stimulating each other for this. And doesn't this change the way we look at death? One more, Jonathan Edwards says, we're ready to look upon death as a calamity and to mourn those who are so dear to us that they should be in the dark grave, that they are there transformed to corruption and worms, taken away from their dear children and enjoyments, etc., as if they were in awful circumstances. But this is owing to our infirmity. They are in a happy condition, inconceivably blessed. They hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's true we shall see them no more in this world, yet we ought to consider that we're traveling towards the same place. And why should we break our hearts that they've got there before us? We're following after them, and hope as soon as we can to get to our journey's end, to be with them again in better circumstances. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded. So, in conclusion, what should we say? I keep my passport, the gospel of Christ, his righteousness, close to my heart. I travel with friends. I expect the wilderness. I expect hard times. But my hope is on my destiny at the end of the road. As Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And Philip, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to them, hint to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the door. He is the narrow gate. He is the Savior. And those who enter by him go in abundantly. And so when I got back from Europe, I had 50 cents. I was afraid. I thought maybe I need more than my passport to get in. Maybe there's some little fee and I'll be kept from getting into my country. But back with 50 cents, you know what I found out? That was enough. In fact, I didn't even need that. All I needed was my passport. All I needed for my journey home to heaven is Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.